Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me spend some time with you today. I do appreciate it. It's kind of interesting that because I'm talking about animals today, when I woke up this morning, it was kind of frozen and foggy and yucky. But there were about 15 or 20 deer running around the yard. Apparently, bucks are still chasing the does, and that was kind of interesting. If you happen to be listening to this on the audio only portion, do us all a favor, go over to YouTube, the Tor Network, or Rumble, and give us a like, a share, all those things. You know, subscribe if you're so inclined. Makes it easier for people to find us, just like you did. So, and then you can go back and listen to the audio. It's fine. Doesn't bother me at all. Unless I'm doing something special, then I'll tell you. from the messages I received, okay, and then there was quite a few. A lot of you really liked the last episode about pets, and just about everybody I heard from mentioned the lady and the snake. If you hadn't listened to that, go back and listen to it. You'll see why. So, as promised, I'm going to look at what makes animals different than man. Okay? Now, I could do what a lot of people do. I really could. I could do what a lot of people do. And just use the Genesis portion, right? Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created he, them, male and female, right? And then Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life in his nostrils, and man became a living being. Now, I could leave it right there, but that doesn't answer the question, does it? What makes us different? What really, when it comes down to it, what makes us different? Now, I could talk about what makes us similar in Genesis 2:19, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird in the air, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Okay? Both man and animal were formed from the ground. So physically, our physical, chemical, elemental makeup may be similar, but that's where the similarities stop. We're made in the image of our Creator. And because we're made in the image of our Creator, does that mean we look like God? Well, after all, you know, we see the pictures, right? You know, the Sistine Chapel, you know, has the finger. Does God have hands? Does God have a mind? Obviously he does. It talks about it in Scripture, just like hands. You know, Ezekiel describes a lot of things, but he never, you know, in all his visions, he never really gives a complete description of God. He only gives us some vague imagery, just like everybody else does. And it really doesn't matter if we look like God. We're designed to act like God, but sadly, most of us don't. And, you know, man receives something the animals don't, the breath of life. And because we receive that free will, the way we're able to think and reason, communicate the way we do, mankind is then given the responsibility of having rule over the earth and the animals. But when man allowed sin to come into creation, that's when things began to change. Mankind would no longer receive the free ride that the animals would have. Man needed to work for his food. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, animals need to work for their food too. But that's what we're looking at in today's world. For the first 2,000 years up to the flood, animals ate plants. They didn't need to search for food. It was provided for them by the Creator. After the flood, when fear of mankind was put into the animals, they were given flesh to eat as well, right? And I've said this before the flood, mosquitoes didn't need to bite us to get our blood. They got what they needed from plants, just like everything else. But after the flood is when they began to need to search for food, and some learned to store food like squirrels and ants. things changed post-flood, but something remained the same. Something important remained the same. If you look at Job 38:41, who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God as they wander about for lack of food? Who do you think provides for them? Psalm 147:9, he provides food for the animals, for the young ravens when they call. You think David understood what Job was talking about? And then look at Matthew 6:26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap. They do not gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now it goes on and says, aren't you much more valuable than they? If we're made in his image? You know, even today, we see our Creator providing for the animals while mankind works far more hard than they. Of course, mankind wants more than the animals do too, don't we? You know, the animals are content to live in their dens and in their nests, but when mankind wants, he wants a big warm house. He wants a big warm house, just a second. Mankind might want a big warm house. Mankind might want a 60-inch television set. Mankind might want, you know, the Mercedes-Benz or the Audi. But the animals are content. Now, something that really separates us, and it's a big difference, is the way we respond to different things. You know, if an animal's in a good mood, we can reasonably expect a familiar reaction. If one is sick or injured, we can expect a different reaction, but it's still going to be reasonably familiar. People, on the other hand, they're different. They're much different. If somebody's in a good mood, we might smile and say hello, and their attitude might change drastically. Right? I was talking to somebody just the other day about this, and it happened to them just that morning. You know, we may have a desired reaction, but we might get something much, much different. Something that, you know, even though if we smile and say hellos, we expect people to smile and say hello back, but the reaction we get might be just the opposite. Something might trigger in them. No matter how good of a mood they were in, something might trigger in them, and they just get angry. Something much different, much, much different than we should be able to reasonably expect. Now, I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of animals, a lot. You know, both domestic, some wild. I've spent a lot of time in the woods in my life. And there is one thing I can say with great confidence. Animals are far more predictable than people. I have been in the woods with wild grizzly bears. One of the places I was in Montana is where they turned all their problem grizzlies loose from the Bob Marshall Wilderness. I ran across them. You can predict pretty much what they're going to do. I've seen numerous small animals, and you can pretty much predict what they're going to do every time. But you cannot predict every time with any degree of certainty what a person is going to do. And that might be the greatest difference. That might be just the absolute greatest difference between man and animals, because it comes down to this. Animals are quite content living the way they are designed to live. People are not. People are not content to live the way we are designed to live. Something to think about until next time. And until next time, I do wish you many, many blessings, everyone. If you didn't catch the last episode, you might want to. A lot of people really, really enjoyed that. But before I go, I do need to remind you the books are available at authorjerrymitchell.com. Don't forget to go check that out if you are so inclined. And there I am back. You know, I'm still having trouble figuring out how I want to arrange things here, so it takes me a minute. Until next time, many blessings, everyone.